Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning, and welcome back to The Flatline. This is your host, Rick Hughes. I'd like to thank you for tuning in this morning, and I pray you'll stay with us. 30 minutes of news, views, and interviews, and information that you cannot afford to lose, they may say. Yes, this is a show about the Word of God, the Bible. And this show will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you'd like to orient and adjust to that plan, you have the freedom, you have the privacy to do that. But on this show, we have no hidden agendas because we're not trying to sell you anything, and we certainly don't have anything for you to join. All we actually have is truth found in the Bible, found in the Word of God. And that truth comes in the form that God wrote it. Hopefully we can effectively explain it to you so that you can make the application to your life. If you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always feel free to do so. Rick Hughes. You can reach me on the internet at www.bigrick.org. That's bigrick.org. You can even reach us on Facebook. We're now on Facebook at Rick Hughes Ministries, and you can reach us that way as well. But this show today, we have a very interesting show today, and I hope that you'll stay with us. We're going to be talking about wisdom, And have you ever heard someone say something like this? Have you ever been talking to a friend, and maybe that friend is considering something big in their life, like getting married or getting a particular job or going to a particular school or making a huge decision in their life, and they say to you, well, I have prayed about it. That's what you ask them sometimes. Did you pray about it? And they say, yes, I've prayed about it. And now they're going to go ahead and do what they've prayed about. Have you ever wondered where that concept came from? Have you prayed about it, or I have prayed about it? You know, I hear it all the time. And people, it's almost as if people are saying, God told me to go ahead and do this. I prayed about it, so God told me to go ahead and do it. But that's not exactly the way that it works. And so I want to talk to you today about how we acquire wisdom from God, how we acquire information that will help us and guide us in our life. This is found in James 1:5. Recently, I heard a young man speaking about this, and it made me think about some things. So I want to go over it with you a little bit today. In James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all. And the word liberally is used in the King James Version of the Bible there. Actually, it means he does it openly, he does it simply, sincerely. The Greek word for liberally is halpos, H-A-L-P-O-S. And the concept is that God is very generous, and God is more than willing to give you wisdom or insight if you want it. It says that he gives to all liberally and upbraideth not. And upbraideth means that he does not cast reproach or turn us away. And it shall be given to him, the verse goes on to say. Now let me read it one more time. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Now the question, does this mean that all I need to do is ask God what lottery number to pick and he'll give it to me? What horse to bet on and he'll give it to me? Does this mean that if I don't know information and I need information and I ask God to give me the information that he will give it to me? Is that what this verse is telling me? And the answer to that is absolutely not. If you think that God's going to give you something that you haven't studied to learn, then you're dead wrong. There was a time when the Apostle Paul taught Bible scripture. He wrote the book of Romans. He wrote the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He wrote Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And he taught doctrine that no man taught him, because he had a supernatural gift of being able to do that. But if you and I need to know something, and we haven't spent time seeking out that information, and you say, well, I want God to tell me what to do, it's in the Bible. Well, this is where God tells you. God delivered to you a wonderful, fantastic, supernatural miracle called the Bible. And in the Bible are all the answers that God has for you. So what this verse is telling you is that if you need wisdom, You will find it in the Bible. Now, does that mean that you just simply open the Bible, close your eyes, thumb through the pages, and put your finger down and wham, bingo, there's my answer? No, that's not what it means. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. God does want you to have wisdom. God does want you to have supernatural insight in your spiritual life. But it only comes through learning God's word and applying it thus into your soul. So we want to do a little study about wisdom today, understanding that this verse does not mean that all I have to do, since it'd be like you saying, well, I don't know my algebra for the test today, but I'm going to ask God to give me the answers on the test. Now, if you think God will give you the answers on the test, even though you didn't prepare for it, you're dead wrong. And that's not what this verse means. And that's not what it means to you in your spiritual life either. If you have a crossroads, if you have a big, major, huge decision you make, just praying about it may not be enough. You say, well, I'm just going to pray about it and God will tell me. There is definitely a way to know the directive will of God. We've talked about it on this radio show many times, and I'll be more than happy to talk about it again. How do you know the directive will of God? How do you know the permissive will of God? And there's even something called the overruling will of God, when God steps in and keeps you from self-destructing because you made some dumb decision. Anyhow, what exactly is wisdom? Let's break it down in some principles for you. When the Bible says, if you need wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Well, what exactly is wisdom? I'll start off by telling you that the word for wisdom in the Greek New Testament is the word Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, Sophia. And Sophia is the application of the word of God to your experience. Now, let me put it to you this way. If you sit under a qualified pastor who teaches you the Bible, and you learn the Bible, then the Holy Spirit takes what you learn, and he processes it through your mind. It becomes, at that point, what the Bible uses a term called gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. That's knowledge. That's our word for knowledge. But knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge believed and applied. That's the difference. So when you take the knowledge you learned under the ministry of the Holy Spirit from a pastor who teaches you the Bible, and then you believe it by faith and apply it into your life, then it becomes what the Bible calls full knowledge, epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. There is a difference between gnosis and epignosis in the Bible. Both words are translated knowledge, but one means to understand, and one means to understand and apply. So when you have epignosis, that information goes into the stream of consciousness of your soul. You have a stream of consciousness. It's a river of thought that flows 24/7. And this is where the wisdom is stored. And so now you come upon some circumstance in your life where you must now make a decision. Should I marry this person? Should I take this job? Should I go to this location? And all of a sudden, you go back into your stream of consciousness. And you pull out this wisdom that you've learned, and it is in the form of Bible scripture, where the Bible says, yes, you can do that, or no, you should not do that. Now, are there things that God does not comment on? Well, there certainly are. There are some things God does not comment on, because I would assume he figures we have enough common sense to know the answer to that. But God doesn't comment on what type of music we listen to. God doesn't, you know, somebody's going to say, oh no, you should not listen to that old evil rock and roll. You should not listen to that rap. You should not listen to that jazz. You should not listen to whatever. God doesn't comment on what type music we should listen to or what type clothes we should wear, other than we should be modest and we should dress accordingly. But if we want to wear blue jeans or slacks or a dress or shorts, God doesn't comment on that. And so people get all these wacky ideas about what they can and cannot do. The Bible certainly has a lot of information. Throughout all 66 books, there's a lot of information there. And as you learn that information and process that information, you gather wisdom. Wisdom is the application of the information to your circumstances. And so, wisdom is the application, I'm going to say it one more time, it's the application of the information. God does not give you some wisdom from something you have not learned. In other words, if you haven't studied it, if you haven't learned it, if you haven't read it, he's not going to give it to you. By a miracle, just lay your head down, all of a sudden, boink, the answer's going to pop in there. Now, here's what he may do. He may send a friend. Sometimes God may send a pastor, may send a Sunday school teacher, may send a spouse, may send a sibling to give you biblical information that will answer your question. So if you have a question and you pray and you say, God, what should I do about this? Well, the answer is going to be found in his word. Now, if you don't have his word, he may send someone to you that indeed has it already. And they may give you a transfusion. They may give you the Bible verse that gives you the answer. So what you need is the word of God or the answer from the Bible. This is where wisdom comes to. What you need is an answer about what God would have you to do. This is why we're told to grow spiritually in the Bible by means of our study, so that when a crisis comes in our life, he can guide us through the crisis. Now, if you want to know what wisdom actually is, let's break it down for you. Let's break down what is wisdom. If I say that you have wisdom, what I'm referring to is you have essentially four things in your life. You have, first of all, discretion. You have, from the Word of God, discretion, which means you have the ability to avoid making an offensive decision. You have good judgment. You have the ability to judge the circumstances and make a decision. And you have the ability to retain confidentiality, to keep your mouth shut about any decision that you make. But discretion is a wonderful byproduct of wisdom. It is part of wisdom. Any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ who learns the Word of God has, in fact, a light to guide him to good judgment, the ability to avoid making terrible mistakes, discretion. And another byproduct is discernment. Wisdom is made up of discretion, and another component is discernment. Discernment means that we can see often what is not obvious, and we can be able to tell the difference between two or more things in our life. We're not gullible. We're not led easily in deceit and gullible to making a wrong decision. And so the Word of God, learned and applied in your soul, that becomes not just gnosis, knowledge, but epinosis, full knowledge, gives you discretion and discernment. And then another component of wisdom is understanding. That means that you will be able to comprehend the sense or the meaning of something. You will have the understanding to comprehend the sense or the meaning of something. You will be able to interpret the meaning of something. So if you need to know what's going on in the business world, and you ask God for wisdom, and you are faithful to take in his word and learn it and use it, out of your stream of consciousness, the Holy Spirit will direct you so that you will be able to comprehend or the meaning of some business decision that is about to take place. You may be able to see in down the road and say, wait a minute, this is going to be a disastrous decision. Do you not understand? Don't you comprehend what you're about to do? Or you may comprehend a sin that you're about to get involved in, and you may have enough discernment to say, I don't need to do this. This is going to destroy me. See, we all have the ability to destroy ourselves. And if we don't have discretion and discernment and understanding, then we certainly do it every day. Understanding, the ability to talk to someone and understand what their real motive is. The ability to sit in a church service and understand what you're hearing, not just sit there and daydream. So discretion and discernment and understanding are all part of wisdom. But there is a fourth component to wisdom, and that fourth component is timing. God gives you the ability to make the right decision at the right time. A wrong thing done in a wrong way is always wrong. But a right thing done in the wrong time can be wrong. Did you hear that? A right thing done in the wrong time can be wrong. When you step out of timing, when you step out of God's timing, you run ahead of God or you fall behind God, and see, that gives Satan an advantage. Take, for example, a herd of zebra. As the zebras stay together, they're safe when the lion comes. But if one zebra lags behind, then the lion is able to isolate that zebra, capture it, and kill it. You know, the Bible does say that our enemy, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And one of the ways that he will do that is isolate you. Isolate you from a local church. Isolate you from the teaching of the Word of God. Get you into your own little world. And then you lose sense of timing. Timing is very important. Timing is, when is it right to act on something? When is it right? When is the right time to do something? All of your life you've been concerned about that. You know that the right time to pay the bills are on the first of the month, so you don't get the late charges. But what about the right time to propose? What about the right time to go here or go there? Timing is very important in the fishing world, like the competitive bass fishing world that I fish in sometimes. Timing is everything in where you present your lure and how you present it, because maybe these fish only bite at 10 o'clock and these fish over here only bite at 2 o'clock. So you need to know at 10 o'clock not to be at the 2 o'clock spot and at 2 o'clock not to be at the 10 o'clock spot. Timing is important. Timing is important in life, even in the military. Do you remember the attack on Pearl Harbor by the Japanese forces? Do you know that that attack was intended as a preventative action to keep the Pacific Fleet from influencing the war that the Empire of Japan was planning? And when they sprung that surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, sinking four Navy battleships, three cruisers, three destroyers, killing over 2,400 American personnel, you know that was a matter of timing, strategic planning and timing. Striking the Pacific Fleet while they were at anchor had a distinct advantage because the Japanese knew that all three of the Pacific Fleet carriers were absent. The Enterprise, the Lexington, the Saratoga, they were not there. They planned that attack with strategic timing. So these four components of wisdom, discretion, discernment, understanding, and timing, all come through the knowledge of the Word of God in your soul. Listen to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, as it talks about knowledge. The Lord gives wisdom, and this is our word, wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He has reserved priceless wisdom for decent people. He is a shield for those who walk in integrity, in order to guard those on the paths of justice and to watch over the ways of His godly ones. And then you will understand what is right and just and fair in every good course of life. What does the Lord do? He gives wisdom. And where does it come from? From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. How does God speak to you today? Through the Bible. Through His Word. This is how God speaks. If you have been out in the middle of a field on a sunny day and you heard God speak to you, you probably need to see a doctor. Because that's not how God does it. God speaks through the Bible, through His Word. It is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And if someone claims to have heard God and heard the voice of God and they come to you and give some revelation about what God told them you should do, you need enough wisdom to know God doesn't act that way. You need enough wisdom to know this is a phony, this is a liar, and this is a person who's trying to manipulate you for whatever reason. Now let's go back to our principles on wisdom. Wisdom is defined as what is true and what is right, and you combine it with good judgment, which comes from the mentorship of the Holy Spirit. So here's the second key to learning wisdom. First of all, it comes from the Bible, and so we have the Word of God. Now we need a coach to tell us how to use these plays. The Bible is the playbook. The coach is the Holy Spirit. He's our mentor, our coach, our tutor. And in John 14:26, Jesus said, our Lord said, when I go away, I'm going to send you a tutor. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into truth. So now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of you. He indwells you at the moment of your salvation. He fills you at the moment of your salvation. He regenerated you. He even gave you spiritual gifts at the moment of your salvation. And in Ephesians 1:12, the Bible says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day that we are redeemed or taken home. And so the Holy Spirit, not only does he seal us, but he indwells us and fills us. And the filling of the Holy Spirit, see, this is the power system for the believer. And you remember that sin quenches the Holy Spirit. You remember that sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And that when you sin, when you use your volition to go against God, just exactly as Adam and Eve did in the garden when they decided to partake of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, they said no to God, we're going to do this. And God said, don't do it. Well, you do the same thing. When you decide to sin, you go against the known will of God, and you quench the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit. Thus, you are out of fellowship with God. And the Holy Spirit cannot mentor you. He cannot guide you, coach you. He cannot be your tutor until you use problem-solving device number one, which is rebound, until you recover from your sin. And that's why the Bible tells us if we will confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. A wonderful problem-solving device on the flat line of your soul. Rebound, problem-solving device number one, allows you to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. It allows you to stay under the control of the Holy Spirit. Thus, the Holy Spirit can tutor you, guide you, mentor you. You may know the Word of God, but if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you will not be able to act correctly on what you know. The Holy Spirit will not be able to guide you. See, one cannot fulfill the spiritual life without wisdom. If you're going to have an advantage in the spiritual life, you must have wisdom. That wisdom must be the Word of God circulating in the stream of consciousness. Now, let's go back just a minute. Where did your spiritual life start? It started at your spiritual birth. Remember, there are two birthdays. There's a physical birthday when you're born the first time, and there's the spiritual birthday when you're born the second time. So you have a physical and a spiritual birthday. The physical, we know that will terminate with death. But the spiritual, we know that once you're born again, that you are headed for heaven. You're headed for eternal life with God. You're going to get a resurrection body. But as long as you're here on this earth, as long as you're surviving here on this earth, in order for your spiritual life to be effective, there must be wisdom. There has to be the Word of God circulating in your stream of consciousness that gives you a scale of values. That Word of God circulating in your stream of consciousness that gives you good judgment. And that good judgment being discretion, discernment, understanding, and timing. Without that, well, then you cannot advance very far in the spiritual life. And then there is one other thing. The key to growing spiritually is humility. There has to be some humility in the lives of all of us. Because humility is nothing more than teachability. Without humility, we are not very teachable. And that means we have to be willing to lay our desires aside. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Philippians 2:5, he humbled himself. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a servant. He even told us that if you want to be first, you need to be last. That humility is the key. And that's why Paul wrote in Romans 12:3, don't think of yourselves in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. That standard of thinking, the only way that you can function wisely with wisdom is functioning in humility. If you have no humility, you're going to be arrogant. And an arrogant person never sees their flaws. The arrogant person never sees their mistakes. The arrogant person always thinks that everyone else is wrong. Proverbs 11:2, arrogance comes, and then comes shame. But wisdom remains with humble people. Did you hear it? Arrogance comes, and then comes shame. But wisdom remains with humble people. You see, because of the importance of wisdom in the soul of the believer, and as a result of the spiritual growth in the soul of the believer, Satan will try to stop your advance. He will try to distract you from the Word of God. He will try to discredit the person that you're learning under, the communicator. He will try to get you to see that person's feet of clay and not listen to him and not believe him. And he will deceive you into taking some sort of placebo, some sort of sugar pill called religion, organized religion, that'll substitute programs and entertainment, anything to occupy your time so you don't hear and you don't learn clear Bible instruction. That is one of the biggest, if you ask me, it's one of the biggest mistakes in the church today, is we spend too much time on programs. We spend too much time singing. We spend too much time putting on dramas. We spend too much time doing this, doing that. And that's all fine and nice. And that's, people say, well, that's how I worship God. How you worship God is by learning and applying his word. And if you only have a few hours each week to do it, and you spent that time singing and watching some drama and some musical and yada, whatever it is, you're not learning. You may be appreciating God. You may be praising God, but you're not learning anything. That's why the Bible clearly says that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Am I saying these type things should never be in a church? No. I'm just saying that precedence, priority number one, should always be on the teaching of the Word of God. I remember an old pastor friend of mine who's very old, Pastor Sam. He said, my people like to sing for an hour, and I don't mind because I will teach for an hour. And so there you go. As long as the Word of God has priority and precedence. But without that, without wisdom from the Word of God, your spiritual life shuts down, and you go into the routine of ritual without reality, and the end result is your spiritual life is distorted, and you crash and burn due to your own arrogance. Do you go to heaven? Sure you do. But you never fulfill the plan of God because you never have enough wisdom to know even what it is. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you now for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.